have to ask yourself, what is the cost of being in this relationship? What's it costing me to be here? And if the cost is your dignity, your self-respect, your individuality, your health, your peace of mind, if that's the cost, let them go.
Wow, you know, I just had a self-reflection once again, as usual, as I'm talking to people about relationships and dating, and I think we all do at this point. It's very fascinating to always talk to people that are on the other side of it, when they're in relationships, when they're happily married, or they're in a commitment that they want to be in, but at the same time, they are not able to have a fulfillment of that relationship. Even though they complain to me and vent to me about it at the end, the way I see it anyway, is that people love where they're at, or they feel that this is as good as it's gonna get, because the landscape out there with finding someone new, it gets worse and worse. I don't disagree with that notion, and I've always felt that way, and how we love people and how we want to be loved, that's something that we don't take into equation a lot when we're going out and dating, right? And I feel a lot of my failures in dating have come from self-accountability. And when you have self-accountability, it's knowing who you are as a person, knowing what things are going to be a red flag or a concern for somebody out there, and deservedly so, and is deservedly understood. So, you know, the way I look at relationships is the way I view about how I love someone, that I don't necessarily judge if you're still married or if you're still in a situationship. Like, I'm able to look past that, because if you're able to be somebody or wholeheartedly, you're conveying yourself transparently and genuinely, that's something that's very attractive to me as a person. And it's also very attractive to me when you're able to not only convey your truth, but more importantly, you love the way I do as well. And everyone, you know, that you talk about sign language, love languages, and all these different things. But ultimately, when it comes to dating and relationships, in my opinion, is knowing the language in which you want to be loved, right? And I don't know if it's only compressed to those five love languages and stuff. You know, I know what I want to receive, and what I want to receive is what I give. So I give as close to unconditional support and acceptance as I can. That's the way I want to love. I want to love you with your flaws. But the trade-off is that you got to take my flaws as well. So that doesn't happen. You know, and that's one of the biggest problems that I have, is that I'll accept your ways, your mood swings, and all of these things that many people would deem as a flaw. But then you have to take mine as well, which is the way I view intimacy, the way I view human connections, the way I want to experience a relationship may not be the way you want to experience it. And those are conversations that I don't think people have, because we already go into relationships and connections assuming that they're going to be exactly how we are going to be to them. Does that make sense? Meaning that we go into a relationship thinking, okay, I'm gonna love this person, and in return, this person is going to love me the same in return. But that's the problem. It's no different than a friendship. It's no different than that realm. Because when you go into friendships, you quickly understand that, hey, you don't quickly understand. Now I understand now. But before, friendships is a different definition to everybody. Like, for my daughter, she sees it like me. Like, you're a friend. You're my family. I love you to death. Like, I'm here for you. Like, you know, she really has that same curse that I do about wanting to build a connection with people on a deeper level. Whereas the people that look at her as a friend only look at her to use her. You know, they don't have this deep desire to bond with you on a friendship level. So since those definitions are off, that relationship is not going to be mutually reciprocal. It's going to be, well, my daughter's going to keep giving, and the other person's going to be taken, because they don't believe in putting in the same energy as you do in that connection. So when you have that epiphany and you realize that, oh, okay, you got to be realistic with at what level do you love? At what level? What are the things that consist of you having a healthy connection with somebody, whether it's family, whether it's friendship, whether it's dating? It's understanding how do you love in a capacity. And the cool thing about it, and I'm trying to teach my daughter this right now, and I told her this all the time. I had to learn this at, you know, my late 30s. I had to learn this like 10 years ago, give or take. And it was understanding that you can only match people where they're able to go. Like realistically, in a perfect world, I would love everyone that's in my life to love me the way I love them. To want to call me every day like I would like to call them. To make plans to get together. Just to be around each other and shoot your shit and enjoy life. Nothing more, nothing less. Just to spend time in your space and talk about life and you share about your life. But that mindset isn't the same. So what I'm trying to tell my daughter, and I tell people all the time, is that when you realize that the way you love and you acknowledge that the way you love is not the same as other people, and this is the big one, and if you are in a way feeling that that connection is not bringing you happiness and joy, then you have to create limits. You have to start creating boundaries. And I tell it to my daughter all the time, because she'll go from having a great time with somebody or wanting to see somebody, and then when they're gone, she's complaining about them. Like, man, that person was just sucking the energy out of me. They wanted to do all these things and they didn't want to do what I wanted to do. I'm like, well, that's what you're creating. That's the part where hold on for a second. I got to do this. I don't know what I was talking about there in the first half, but I think I wanted to also add to this was the path that we all take. Most of us in relationships, if you ever notice in relationships, most people are not truly happy. And the root cause of that, why they're not happy, is very simple for me, because they're not able to convey or be who they truly want to be in the relationship. A lot of times, if you look around the relationships that you're around or the one you're in yourself, there's a reason why you're not fully happy, because there's parts of you that you can't share with that person. There's part of the feelings that you have that you can't convey because you know that it will hurt them or it would not want them to be in the relationship anymore. And I understand that fear. I understand that concern. And I think when I talk to a lot of people about it, they don't seem to understand that for you to truly be happy, you have to walk a path of owning who you are. And unfortunately, when you do something like that, like I'm doing, which is owning who I am as a person and conveying that, it does lead you down Lonelyville or Aloneville, however you want to call it. And for me, that's not a bad place to be, because I'm comfortable being by myself. I enjoy being by myself. Would I prefer to be with somebody else? Sure. But I'm not going to do it at the detriment of my inner happiness or being myself fully. And that's the question that a lot of people need to answer for themselves. And I think that a lot of people already know the answer to that, because there's many people that are in relationships and marriages that are not truly happy. And then they are miserable and they look around, there's other people just as miserable, and people don't realize after a while. You realize, man, like, what am I doing this for? Next thing you know, I'm 10 years involved. We got our finances fixed, right? And then you're saying to yourself, why is it that, you know, I'm not feeling happy? Because you were never honest from the beginning, or someone wasn't honest in the beginning. And now you're stuck in a situation where the person that you're with, whether it's yourself or your partner, is not who they convey they are. And you find yourself in a pickle, because now you're saying, man, if I would have known this in the beginning, I wouldn't have been part of this relationship. Because that's how most people operate. It's sad. Most people don't convey the truth. You know, I talk to people online all the time, and they're always lying about something. They're always worrying. And it's not they're lying because they want to be deceitful, but it's more from, I know the intent of the lie, which is, I don't want you to run away because I like you. And because I like you, I don't want you to run away with these things that I have or that I'm dealing with. And I'm the kind of person that says, hey, man, like, I know you got shit. Just let me know. Let me know from the beginning and we're good to go. And I could deal with it because guess what? I know I'm bringing my stuff that I want you to tolerate and be happy with. Okay. So I know there's a give and take to it. You know, whenever you're loving the way I want to love, which is loving everything about you, the sum total, good and bad things, but then not being able to reciprocate that is where a lot of people get in these situations that are not conventional. And I, the rule of thumb I have is like from, you know, from my daughter, it's like always looking for nice guys. But if you're bored and is compromising your self-happiness, you need to be honest. You need to be very honest about moving forward, because being alone is part of the process of loving yourself. And a lot of people can't stomach that, that reality of, I want to be alone. I want to, people don't want to accept that, that they have some flaws that may not be popular to the general dating population. And I understand that. But the one thing I can tell you, and I can reassure you, walking in this path of being alone, is that you never have to lose any sleep. You never have to live with resentment. There are so many negative feelings you don't live with because you're not having to tolerate people's shit. I'm not tolerating a partner's shit anymore. You know, I'm not tolerating their ways because there's no one to tolerate mine. You see, like it's a very simple mindset to have. It really is when it comes to dating. It's knowing who you are and conveying that truth to other people. I think it's easier for women because men at least, there's more accepting men out there regardless of what you want to think. Like women are the ones that have a slew of standards that are much harder to break through than a man, in my opinion. Like a man is usually, look, if you look good, but you're a little batshit crazy, guys would be like, I'll deal with your batshit crazy because guess what? I mean, I've dealt with it before, or, you know, they have the temperament to deal with it. And that's not a problem at all. Sorry, I had to drink that. But yeah, it's a very disappointing thing to realize that people, for you to reach a level of happiness with somebody, it all starts with you cleaning out your closet, with you fixing your mental bedroom, with you doing all of that. And that's going to take not having someone by your side. It's going to take you being alone and nobody wanted to date you, or you're not wanting to date anybody, because you still have to process a lot of the things that you're working through as a person. That's why for me, when I'm dating somebody and they're very vanilla, very conventional and traditional and in their wheelhouse of things they like to do in intimacy, I don't even go forward with it because I don't want that person to compromise their self-happiness for me. I don't want them to deal with it. You know, I'd rather have somebody that is in that wheelhouse that likes unconventional, that likes non-traditional and is okay with that. But I'm not going to be comfortable with having somebody that thinks otherwise. But in people in relationships are like this, like, well, I don't want to be alone, but this person is different and I have all these red flags, but man, they treat me good and they do these things. Fuck it. I'm going with it. And that's when you get into constant trouble all the time. It's mostly because you have this fear of being alone. You have this fear of the options not being what they were before. And if the options are not what they were before, you know, before you did yourself work, then there weren't great options to begin with. There weren't ideal connections for you to be happy in. And that's the part that I think people don't even consider in their everyday lives. They don't consider that, and I guess it's weird for me, I'll live with this, you know, I know that I'm going to die alone. No matter how many wives I have, no matter how many kids I have, when I go on that journey in the deathbed, it's going to be just me and myself. Like, my wife can't join me and my kids can't join me. I may die in a car accident. I may die in a plane ride without my family around. I may be murdered. So it's like this idea that we all die alone is a weird one to me, because technically we all die alone. There's a reason why there's widows. There's a reason why there's trust funds and probate court because people die and they don't go out of it together. And these are things that, these are realities that people don't want to accept about real life. And I guess I accept a lot of the realities in real life. And I accept that in this world, you're going to be weird, but other people are going to be weird too. So let's accept each other's weirds. You know, we don't have to dabble in it. Like if you love candle wax rituals every night, I'm like, you know, that's not for me. But if you want to do that, you can do that. You know, I may whatever it is that you do in that, candle ritual, no problem. But you see where I'm getting at is understanding that we can't be good to anybody, or we can't be at our optimal if we're not allowing to love ourselves, if we're not allowing to embrace who we are as people, and then showcasing that to the world. Because when, guess what happens when you love for who you are? That amplifies. To me, it amplifies, because it's having people in your circle that truly love you for who you are, not for what you can be, not for any other contingencies or other things that you bring to the table. They love you for who you are. You know they love you for who you are. And there's no greater feeling than that. So if I have to travel a load of being alone versus being around people but knowing that I'm not happy in those situations, you're wasting life, in my opinion.